paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
And we are back, the Kickback Pod, back with our first episode of 2025, here with my man Fobs. Shout out to each and one of you listeners, all of you guys who have been listening at the Kickback Pod for the last several years. Thank you for joining us once again in 2025. We're back with one of our favorite episodes to do. We usually do this episode at the start of the year where we kind of recap what's been going on in Paris Fashion Week, because it's usually a good barometer for what sneakers are going to look like for the rest of the year, some of the big sneaker trends. So we're going to talk about one big trend that we noticed during Paris Fashion Week, and also give you each of our top three sneakers that we saw during Paris Fashion Week as well. But before we get into any of that, Fobs, my man, how you doing?
What up, man? Yeah, no, feeling good, feeling ready for this episode, feeling ready for 2025. It's going to be a big year. I think it's going to be a very surprising year for a lot of reasons. This is not a predictions episode, though, so I will leave that talk to maybe another episode or another section in another episode. We are talking Paris Fashion Week sneakers, and my God, there was a lot going on. But we will also get to that, you know. I don't want to get ahead of myself. No, I'm doing good, man. Like, you know, it's technically February, but, you know, January, February in Berlin is probably like the two worst months of the year in Berlin. You escaped for a few weeks, right? Or like 10 days. You went back home to Toronto, which isn't much warmer, but obviously family is there and maybe a little bit of a different vibe. Man, I'm doing good. I'm just looking forward to my next vacation, which is in a few weeks. I'm going to be going to the Canary Islands. It's going to be nice and warm. And yeah, man, just vibing out. What about you? How are you?
So even though we're only in February, I have been doing quite a bit of traveling already in 2025. I was in Copenhagen for a few days in January, which was great. It's so nice to just travel somewhere on a plane for 45 minutes. Like, that's such a luxury, I gotta say. Like, and I'm still like not jaded by that, you know. Like, even though I've lived in Europe for many years now, I don't take that for granted at all. The fact that you can just kind of travel to another country, 1 hour, maybe 2 hour flight sometimes, and you're in a whole different culture, a whole different vibe. And that's what Copenhagen is. It's just a quick 45 minute flight from Berlin, and I love going there. One of my favorite cities in Europe. So check that out for a few days. Then the following week, I was back home in Toronto. I actually went over there to surprise my mom for her birthday, and the surprise went over quite well. It was just great being back home as well. I couldn't handle the cold at all this time. This is one of my first winters going back home to Canada, and I really am too European now, maybe. I just can't handle that cold. I ended up getting quite sick, actually, and you can maybe tell by my voice, I sound a little bit different, a little bit clogged up. The Toronto cold really got to me. It was like minus 10, minus 20 some days. And coming back to Berlin, yeah, the difference in temperatures really messed with my immune system. So, yeah, I'm trying to survive right now. It's been a very busy January, but lots going on in the sneaker world. I kept up with Paris Fashion Week scrolling through Instagram, and there were a lot of different stories that we're going to definitely talk about later on in this episode. But first, let's talk about what we've been wearing lately. Fobs, what's been on your feet?
I have been wearing my New Balance 860 V2s in that beautiful pink colorway, which I talked a lot about towards the end of the year in the last couple episodes. It was a Black Friday / Cyber Monday / Thanksgiving / whatever pickup, and it's been one of my trusted pairs, obviously, when the weather allows for it. We've had a few days where it's been a little bit rainy or wet, but we've also had some really, really beautiful days here in Berlin that, you know, have been cold, but whenever you see the blue sky in the winter in Berlin, you kind of count your blessings. And that's exactly when I've been wearing them. Super comfortable shoe. Love the, you know, vintage 2000s running vibes. And yeah, they've been gracing my feet quite a lot. They're actually sitting at my front door right now, ready to be slipped on if I, you know, head out to the Späti later, or, you know, tomorrow when I bring my son to Kita. They'll be my go-to trusted pair. What about you, man?
I feel like the 860 V2 is going to be a pretty popular pair for New Balance this year. The ALD ones, the ones that people were able to order last year, those are finally getting shipped out now. And I feel like it's a good alternative to the 2002R and the 1906R. Like, I feel like it's a bit more of like a slim down model compared to those mm-hmm. other two. Yeah. And I've always personally liked the look of that model compared to the other two as well. So let's see what new colorways we get this year.
Yeah, there's as been, far as like also at like I think it was it London Fashion Week. You know that collaborator, not collaborator. I mean, he's a collaborator, but the customizer slash like creative Lorenzo G. He did a pair,
right,
with New Balance, which I think were kind of custom dip dyed, or you know, like whatever he does to them to make them look so cool. Teamed up with Tony's Chocolony. And I think that was a Fashion Week event slash pop-up. So I think you're onto something. Maybe these will really be a big shoe this year. If they are, man, I would love it.
Yeah. I think that's that prediction might actually come true this year. We'll see. I hope so, because I've always really liked that model. As far as what I've been rocking lately, I'll just tell you what I basically took with me on the few trips I did. The only pair of shoes I took with me to Copenhagen was my Junya Watanabe 1906L, which I wore for the 3 days that I was there. And I've already talked enough about this shoe. It was my favorite sneaker of last year, and it will continue to get a lot of use this year. And when I went over to Canada, I just took two pairs with me. One was, of course, my Air Max 95 Toronto. It felt extra special wearing it in Toronto. Yeah, those shoes are great. They look great on feet. And also, to battle the cold, I took my pair of the North Face Glencliff Mules. I've talked about this pair a little bit on here, and also showcased it on Instagram. It's pretty much like a puffer jacket on your feet. And I will say, those of you who live in Canada know all about this. It's called the wind chill. You guys know what that means. It means that even though your weather app on your iPhone says it's 0 degrees outside, it's really not. It's more like negative 10 or maybe negative 15 with the wind chill. And it's because it's really windy in Canada. But when I had these on my feet, I was not feeling the wind at all going through my toes, you know, going through my mesh or other types of sneakers. These definitely keep you nice and warm, keeping your feet nice and snug. So highly recommend these for the winter. And it has those Vibram outsoles as well. So it was great, you know, just walking on the snow. Lots of grip there. So definitely recommend these. And they're fun to just, you know, put on as well. They just, you just kind of slip them on. So yeah, I definitely would recommend these for the winter time. Yeah, that's about it. That's what I've been rocking. Any pickups for you?
Nah, dude, it's been a very, very slow start to the year for me, man. I have been biding my time, but I think if I remember correctly, 2024 started the same way for me, where the first couple of months I did not touch anything. I did not buy anything. And then suddenly, like around April, May, I was buying Jordans here, Jordans there, New Balances, Asics, whatever. And then I was like, damn, dude, I bought like six pairs this month. So we'll see if 2025 is going to go the same route. But yeah, no, nothing for me this month. I know that there are some tasty releases coming up in February at some point. We'll talk about that later. But I want to know what you picked up recently.
So to be fair, January was a very slow month for sneaker releases. Like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that was too exciting. It was a bit of a slow month. I actually only picked up one pair for myself, and you'll like this one because it was your sneaker of the year last year. And that is the Air Max Sunder in the Burgundy Crush colorway. I had actually bought these earlier on to make a review, but then I returned that pair because I was hoping for these to go on sale at some point and get them for a lower price. And January was jackpot if you were looking for any kind of sales from all of these sneaker websites. Oh, actually, speaking of that, one of the best sales was actually at Sneakers and Stuff, and then you found out later on that was because they were going bankrupt. Really sad to hear that, by the way, because I thought that was one of my favorite, or it still is one of my favorite European retailers. So really, really sad to hear that news. But I didn't actually get these from Sneakers and Stuff. I got these from BSTN as part of their winter sale. I paid around $115, I think, for them. And I was very, very happy to secure these because, like you said this before in the last pod, it's one of the best looking shoes to drop last year. It's such an eye catcher, beautiful transition from that burgundy color to the blue at the toe. And I think it's one of those shoes, you just wear them on your feet and you're going to get lots of compliments. So I can't wait to rock these, especially going into the springtime. So very, very happy to add that to the collection.
Nice. Yeah, that was my top sneaker of the year last year. So I'm fully on board with that. And actually, there's been some other really nice colorways. There's another kind of gradient sneaker. I think it's a little bit more of a like a turquoise-ish green that fades into white on the Air Max Thunder. I saw that online.
I haven't seen that one, actually.
And yeah, I think there's a few good pairs coming. I think there's a lot of good stuff coming this year, as evidenced by the runways and Instagram feeds and special events hosted at Paris Fashion Week Fall Winter 25. So I would suggest we jump right into it and dive into our Fashion Week roundup. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about some sneakers that really caught our eye, and then we'll talk about one big trend we notice basically with all of these sneakers that seems to be a big theme for the sneaker world this year. So lots of designers got their first opportunity to showcase a collection at a Paris Fashion Week this year. And one of the big names was American designer Willy Cava. I'm going to butcher this name. Willy Cavarria. Did I say that right?
I think he's got like Latino roots. I would have said Chavarria, but I'm not a Spanish speaker at all. So you're probably closer to me, man. But
you know what? It's probably Chavarria. It's probably Chavarria. If with the Latino Chavarria roots, probably Chavarria.
Yeah.
But he released his collection, which included a collaboration with Adidas on a couple of models. There's the Jabbar Low, and there was also another model which I am forgetting off the top of my head. It was some other type of Jabbar shoe. But the theme with these sneakers are animal prints, which seems to be actually a pretty big theme for Adidas sneakers in general this year, having a lot of animal prints on their shoes. And one of the shoes had like a tiger print on them. Another one had like a zebra pattern with a bit of a pointy toe as well. Very interesting. Oh, no, not a zebra pattern, more of like a leopard print, actually, which is interesting. I mean, like, I've never seen this combination of like dress shoes with animal prints on them, at least from Adidas before. I mean, I don't know when these are actually going to be going live. I know the day of the release, you could have gone on the Confirmed app and reserved a pair at the Paris location. But of course I wasn't in Paris, so I couldn't have done that. But there should be a wider release for these pairs coming up in the future. What did you think of this collab?
Yeah, man, I thought it was super cool. I think it speaks to the momentum that Adidas has built and the fact that they are partnering with Unexpected Choices, you know, after bringing someone like Wales Bonner into the sneaker scene, for example, and she's been one of the most loved designers and collaborators, not just at the Three Stripes, but kind of across the entire industry, right? Over the last few years, you've got a lot of cool basketball stuff being done. You've got Jerry Lorenzo doing his thing. And now you've got Willy Chavarria doing it. And honestly, man, I love the outfits as well. Like the wide sweatpants that all of the models wore with the three stripes and then the Chavarria.
Yeah, the clothes are fire in this collab.
Logo, right? Like the sweatshirts with the three stripes on the side and the rose and the old style font. Like super, super, super cool. I love how they've like made the shoes a little bit pointed. So it's kind of like they're playing on this like leather kind of formal wear, but then also bringing it back to like the streets with the animal print, the all black. So I'm a huge fan of what Willy Chavarria has done with Adidas. I'm a big fan that Adidas is allowing this designer and his crew and his team to put this together. And yeah, man, I'm very excited to see how people embrace it and whether, you know, like I can see this being a release that maybe doesn't necessarily sell out completely just because I find the shoes very more like on the simpler side, you know, with the all black color scheme and then some like hits of animal print. But I think that this is exactly what New Balance did when they were starting to get really popular. They found designers, they found creatives, they found collaborators that had a niche and they catered to that niche. And I think this is exactly what this collaboration does. It caters to a niche consumer and there will be people out there who are like, oh shit, Adidas is doing stuff that speaks to me, you know? When maybe before they weren't. And I think that's really valuable because then you catch these people and maybe they only buy Willy Chavarria stuff to begin with, but eventually they'll be like, you know what? I rock Adidas. I'll see what other stuff they have. And that's how you kind of build brand loyalty. So I think it's a really smart move and I'm very interested to see how it pays off. It might be a while before we see it because obviously this is a fall winter collection. So even though there was a surprise drop in Paris, during Fashion Week for the shoes, it might take a while for the shoes to actually drop. They'll probably come out late Q2, early Q3 at some point. And then that's when, you know, it takes a while for people to really like start wearing the shoes, start posting them, et cetera. So it'll be a while until we see the effects. But I think this is Adidas really laying the seeds for like a new collaboration strategy, which I really like.
Yeah, those are great points about Adidas's strategy. And I was thinking of maybe touching on this point later on in this episode, but since we're talking about Adidas, we can just kind of discuss it right now. I think really the brand that stood out, or let's say the brand that really won Fashion Week this year, was Adidas. If you look at lots of the other collabs that they dropped, so we just touched on this Willy Chavarria one, but there was also the one with Song for the Mute, which I was very interested in. Two models there won the Taekwondo Mei and also the Adizero PL. Song for the Mute has been doing great collabs with Adidas, I would say. Like the last three or four have been great. The last one on the Country OG has been really nice, but they've been kind of going under the radar. The Song for the Mute one with the Taekwondo Mei in particular, I'm very excited about that model. I think it's a great model for 2025 with its very slim, low profile look. And those colorways, the browns especially, look very nice to me. And yeah, just going back to Adidas, they also really made a lot of headlines during Fashion Week with Pharrell, with a brand new model, the Jellyfish, which really opened some eyes. Like, it kind of looked like almost like a Balenciaga sneaker, like a Balenciaga Triple S almost. Like, it looked huge. It looked so big, even just looking at it on my phone. I can't even imagine how big it must be like in real life. I did see a picture of Pusha T wearing it and it looked huge on him. So I'm interested to see like how big the box of the shoe is going to be once I actually order it. No word yet on when these will actually be available on Confirmed or wherever else, or even when these are releasing, but that definitely turned a lot of heads. There was an entire Y3 collection, which maybe you can touch on. I know you put it down here in the notes. Did you have any comments on the Y3 collection?
Man, such a good collection. You had a lot of like motocross and like motorsports inspired gear. I think Heisenbeidi summed it up best when they said that Adidas Y3 Fall Winter 25 is all gas, no brakes. I mean, you're just looking at the shoes that they've put together and they've got like straight up like motorbike shoes, right? With a Y3 and three stripes down the middle. You've got models wearing helmets. You've got like Y3 branded motocross style T t-shirts and jackets. It was very, very cool. And the shoes were super nice as well. I mean, there was so much going on there. You had a lot of different like low profile styles as well, which is kind of what we're talking about here with that like low profile trend and whether it's poised to dominate further and fall in 2025, which I mean, I think this whole episode, and if you look, scroll through any Paris Fashion Week mood board or whatever, you'll, you know, see that. There's like taekwondo style shoes, like really, really like low profile, slim, sleek pairs coming from Yohji Yamamoto. And in general, I think the apparel was super strong as well. And it kind of shows you that, you know, Adidas and all of its affiliates and sub brands have their finger on the pulse at the moment. Motocross, motorbiking, motorsports are super in across fashion at the moment, mm-hmm. right? Like, you've got people like Lewis Hamilton, who is a bit of a fashion icon, moving to Ferrari in Formula One, right? You've got Brad Pitt's Formula One movie coming out soon. You've got a new season of Drive to Survive. You've got a new season of Formula One. You've got MotoGP. You've got e-gaming, right? Like the F1 game and all that kind of stuff. Gran Turismo. Like, motorsports has such a huge following already. And then fashion is like dipping into that aesthetic and, you know, has done over the last few years as well. We've had a couple of Travis Scott releases and some like yep. Supreme and Palace releases that have dipped into that a little bit as well, like collaborations with Fox, as you know, the Fox, the brand, the motocross brand. So I think Y3 doing this is no surprise for anyone that's kind of followed fashion for a little bit over the last 6 to 12 to 18 months. But it's a very, very beautiful execution. And yeah, man, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, so just going back to the Adidas theme, like it, they like you said, they seem to really have their finger on the pulse right now when it comes to trends in the fashion and streetwear scene. And they really seem to be the brand of the moment at Fashion Week. Didn't hear a lot really or didn't see much from Nike. There was a few New Balance shoes to talk about. And also we'll get into Puma a bit later, but Adidas to me really was the brand that won Paris Fashion Week. Going back into, you know, some of the other sneakers that really caught our eye, we had the New Balance 471 collab with Junya Watanabe. The 471 is a pretty retro model dug up from the New Balance archives that I didn't really hear about before, but it does look like your classic like 70s style running shoes, you know, similar to like let's say the Nike LD Waffle, for example. It has that type of, you know, silhouette and shape to it. And as in usual, you know, Junya Watanabe fashion, very clean colorways here. You got like a black version and a gray version. And it seems like they've used some very nice high quality suede on these pairs. Very clean. I mean, I'm sure retail is going to be pretty high considering it's a Junya pair. But did you have any thoughts on these?
Yeah, I mean, retail will definitely be high. I would say it's a pair where I don't see myself wearing them, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them pop up on my feed more often than not, right? And I know that everybody's feed is very personal and it's based on like who you follow, what you like, what you interact with and stuff like that. So obviously my feed will not be the same as your feed, will not be the same as somebody else's feed. I think there are some sneakers that transcend feeds and algorithms, right? Like there's some shoes, some sneakers that just everybody sees, right? Because they're just so hot right now. I don't know if these will be that, but I think they will definitely be popular with the fashion crowd, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think so. I feel like if these were to go on sale, I would be very interested in either of these colorways because they're the types of models that nowadays I'd like to wear for sure. Some other pairs, maybe the only Nike one that caught our eye, I don't know if it was for a good reason or a bad reason, it was the Nike collab with CDG on the Nike Field General. And it seems like they went pretty heavy with the graphics and the prints on this one because mm-hmm. it's pretty much covered all over in a ton of different logos. You got tons of Nike logos on there. You got like a lot of CDG branding on these shoes. It's pretty much a completely logo covered shoe, which is kind of, you know, unusual, I would say, for a CDG collab, because typically they're not so heavy on the logos and not so heavy on the branding. But they went in the complete opposite direction here. Not my cup of tea, if I'm going to be honest. Like, I don't see myself wearing this. I'm not into like super heavily branded stuff. I'm definitely going to be staying away from this pair. Did you have any thoughts on them?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the all over branding. Like, I think that's pretty clear. But I think what's interesting is that brands are now collaborating with low profile models that Nike has made, right? And True. The Nike Field General is a solid shoe, but it's a shoe that's a bit unspectacular. Hasn't had a lot of hype. Hasn't really gotten a massive push from Nike. And I don't think that, you know, CDG Black collaborating with them is now means that they're getting a huge push, but it's interesting to see them pick up this shoe, right? And I think it falls into the wheelhouse of CDG to collaborate on these kinds of shoes and these kinds of models and silhouettes. But it does show me that everybody across the board is still looking to get in on this like low profile trend, this low profile wave, this low profile hype, right? So I think it's interesting on that regard. It's not a shoe for me, but it's interesting to see that this is the shoe that they are collaborating on.
Yeah. One more that caught our eye, as usual, it seems like now what, the third or fourth year in a row that we've seen Oralay release a collab with New Balance. And this time it's on a different model altogether, the New Balance 500, or sorry, the T500. Which is originally a tennis shoe. And it seems like they'll be releasing in both a suede and a leather version. The suede one is done in a dark brown color, and the leather one has like a off-white finish to it. And this one and pretty much all of the sneakers. Actually, wait, before we get into the overall trend, there was one more that caught our eye. That was the Puma Mostro. And from everything I've seen from people who attended Paris Fashion Week, everyone kept talking about the Puma display, or like the Puma showcase that they had set up there, because they had so many sneakers on display. Some of them were, I guess, concepts, but some of them were teasers for upcoming collabs. There was even one with Jound, which was really interesting to see, like a Puma Speed Cat, it seemed, a collab dropping with Jound. But the one that kind of caught our eye was the Aries and Puma Mostro. So the Mostro, if you guys have not seen the shoe already, it's like I mean, it's hard to even describe the shoe. It looks like it's got a lot of, you know, spikes on it, which seems to be, you know, coming from the outsole. It's shaped kind of like a Puma Speed Cat, but it kind of got popularized in the last year, mainly due to ASAP Rocky. He had like his 3D printed version of the shoe, which was super loud and interesting. But there's been a lot of other colorways that have dropped this year as well. And the Aries one that dropped as part of Paris Fashion Week, was it this all over black version, or am I looking at the right shoe?
There was a gray version as well. It had this like this wheat woven kind of what's it called? So the black one that you're looking at is the one that they've already done.
Yeah, that's the one they've already dropped. Okay.
There's one coming out which has like this woven. So they've basically woven the upper, which is really cool.
Oh right. Okay.
And it reminds me a little bit of the Nike Air Woven. So it's got all the characteristics of the Mostro, except that the form stripe, the Puma form stripe, is woven, which is super, super cool. So that's like a shoe that I think kind of epitomizes how well Puma has been doing. And I know you said that for you, Adidas had like the most hype and the most momentum in Paris Fashion Week. And I would agree, but there are a lot of people that are saying Puma won Paris Fashion Week too, because they had like really cool activations. They had basically, they had a pop-up where you could just go and, I mean, you couldn't just go. You probably had to be invited or get like a slot, but you could go and you could customize a Mostro, right? And then wear it out. And that was super cool. They had like a lot of people being super creative. They also teamed up with the boys over at Hard Copy, and they basically brought their archive of Puma shoes to Paris Fashion Week and displayed them, which was super cool, because it's not often that normal, you know, like non-journalist, whatever, insider type of people get to see archival shoes. But Puma like proudly displayed them, which was super, super dope for the people that were there. And I'm actually bummed that I didn't go / missed out. And then, yeah, I think Puma in general just has like a lot of noise behind it. A lot of people are getting really excited. You have Salehe Bembury doing something with Puma as well.
Yep, that's true.
Which doesn't fit the low profile sneaker kind of thing. But yeah, man, they're doing a lot of cool stuff. And then I would put them like almost neck and neck, maybe slightly below Adidas in terms of like who's creating the most hype. And it remains to be seen who capitalizes on that hype as well the best in 2025.
Yeah, so these ones, the Aries collab, yeah, like you mentioned, they're super unique for a Mostro because of the side stripe that you normally see on a Puma. It's on this particular model, it's totally like woven. It's totally different looking than you would normally expect. And this was a pair that definitely caught my eye, and I was very excited for whenever these do drop. I feel like these are going to sell out, which is... Yeah. Very, you know, it's something very 2025, because it's not something that we've said about Puma shoes in the last several years. But yeah, you can totally argue the side of Puma winning Fashion Week this year as well. But yeah, Adidas and Puma definitely very, very strong Fashion Weeks this time around. And basically what we noticed with all of these sneakers is kind of an overall theme of brands really showcasing their low profile shoes this year. We've talked about the Willy Chavarria Jabbar Low, the New Balance 471, the Song for the Mute Adidas Taekwondo Mei, the Orale New Balance T500, even the Nike Field Generals. Like, these are all low profile sneakers, and that seems to be the theme this year. And it's like, we've, you know, fashion kind of comes and goes. The last several years have been all about, you know, like the chunky sneakers. And then maybe in the last 2 or 3 years, we've seen, you know, the Adidas Samba maybe start the movement back towards more slim down models. And it seems like that trend is really continuing this year, as those seems to be the kind of sneakers that brands are even doing their collabs on mainly. And yeah, it's, you know, like I've talked about this in one of my previous videos. I feel like Nike doesn't really have too many sneakers that are in this category, like these low profile sneakers. And maybe that's something that's hurting them a bit right now. A lot of their sneakers are, you know, let's say like the more popular ones, like the Air Force Ones, they're a bit chunkier. Maybe that's why some of these other brands are gaining a lot of popularity as well, because those are just the types of shoes that people like to wear nowadays. But I guess some talking points we have is, you know, how long will this low profile trend continue? I mean, definitely based on Paris Fashion Week, I see it at least continuing for the rest of this year. We'll see, you know, trends seem like they come and go really fast nowadays. Maybe you can blame TikTok for that, but I see this trend, at least with low profile, not going anywhere this year. Do you have any thoughts on how long this trend will continue?
Yeah, like I think the interesting thing about this trend is that for me, when you look at it in what stage it's in, you had the, you know, 2023, 2024 phase where pretty much Adidas almost lucked into the Samba being cool, right? And then the Gazelle came and they pushed it with their regular collaborators, Grace Wales-Bonner, a bunch of others. And you know, capitalize on it as well as they could have capitalized on something that, you know, happened a little bit accidentally, in my opinion. I know there's some people out there that say, no, this was all calculated. It was a move away from the bulky luxury triple S type sneakers. But I think it was mostly accidental. And then now this is the interesting phase. This is the phase where everybody is working on full gears, ready to go, pushing out a lot of stuff that they're working on with their collaborators. They're bringing on new collaborators, as we talked about with Adidas and Willy Chavarria. They're tapping existing collaborators. They're bringing in, you know, left field silhouettes that maybe people don't really expect, like the Rejuvenate, the Nike CDG Rejuvenate that they're working on as well, which is super cool. And So for me, this is like the big phase where like everybody's working together and trying to create this big bang moment, kind of how the Dunks just like blew up in 2020, right? And then we'll see like 2021, 2022 type stuff, maybe in 26, 27, where everybody is trying to capitalize on it. We, you know, have big releases that have huge stock numbers. They dilute the market and then everything comes crashing down, basically. So I see us at the like 2025 is 2020 for the Dunks, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. So the Dunks died when? Like maybe like 2 years later? 2022, I would say officially the Dunks died?
2021 was the beginning of the end, and then 2022 was like the nail in the coffin.
Okay. So you're saying we still have about a year and a half left of this, low profile sneaker trend. We'll see. I mean, one thing's for sure, I feel like when the Sambas came out, it seemed like Adidas was the only player in this game, the only player in the low profile sneaker game, because every influencer, you know, was rocking the different Adidas models. And when the Samba, people got bored of the Sambas, they're like, hey, try out these new ones, the Gazelles or like the Handball Special, you know, which are all just Adidas shoes. But it seems like other brands have been pushing their models as well. We've had, you know, Puma really make a big comeback. New Balance pushing some of their models. Like, for example, the ones with Miu Miu, the 530s, those are super, super popular as well. The more slimmed down 530s. And also Nike, you know, coming out with the Field General and some other models as well. New Balance now coming out with the T500. So brands are really trying to capitalize on this trend right now. So yeah, you might be right. We might be getting close to a market capitulation phase, you know, like at some point. But I mean, right now I'm very happy with this trend. I've always been a fan of low profile shoes. Actually, if you follow my channel, I actually just dropped a video, the best low profile minimal sneakers to buy in 2025. So make sure you check out that video. Okay, we've been talking about, you know, more of the mainstream brands so far, but of course, Paris Fashion Week is also all about the luxury brands, and there were some that definitely caught our eye. And let's start off with Louis Vuitton, Pharrell and Louis Vuitton. They released a sneaker which is called the Butter Soft. And fans of Nike were very quick to point out that, yeah, these kind of just look like some Louis Vuitton Cortezes, which, I mean, I don't know if we got any official statement from Louis Vuitton, whether or not these shoes were inspired directly from the Cortez, but they certainly look like some buttery soft Nike Cortezes. Did you have some thoughts on these?
Yeah, man. I mean, it looked like a skateboarding version of the Cortez in like high fashion, right? Or luxury fashion. And what I love is that picture of Pharrell sitting there with all of the different colorways in front of him, because it kind of reminds me of the photos we got from like Kanye and Yeezy at Adidas, and Pharrell when he was still doing big collaborations with Adidas, and he had that like the colors where he had like, what was it, 50 different Stan Smiths and 50 different Sambas or whatever in different colors. And I thought that was like a nice like shout out to that time and that time of like posting on Instagram and stuff like that. But the Butter Soft, I mean, it's a super, super cool sneaker. I'm a big fan of it. I don't think that I would buy it necessarily, right? Like, I think it's obviously going to be too expensive, and I don't know if I could wear it. I'd rather just wear a normal pair of Cortez, and I have a couple pairs of Cortez at home. But it's a super nice sneaker. I think it's a nice homage to an iconic silhouette at Nike. And who better to do that than Pharrell?
I wonder if Jeremy Allen White is going to buy these.
He only wears Cortez, right?
Yeah, I literally read a story on GQ. Was it GQ? I don't remember, but I read a story literally yesterday which said Jeremy Allen White buys new colorway of Nike Cortez, and he finally bought the Cortez with the black stripe because he typically only wears white on white. And it was like a news story, like, oh, whoa, look, he bought a different colorway of the Cortez.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if he, you know, now he's in a different stage in life now. You know, maybe he can afford these Louis Vuitton ones. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, we had the Louis Vuitton Bertasoffs. Another collab that caught our attention, even though there wasn't really much sneakers out of here, but there was the 424 collab with Nike, which if you were a football fan, you were loving this collab. You had like hoodies, I guess they were kind of like jersey hoodies, right? They had like
they were also like leather jackets too. So basically, yeah, they like painted their hoodies, their t-shirts, but the one that caught my eye most was the leather jackets with like OG retro Nike jerseys. I think they had like the 2002 or the 1998 World Cup Brazil jerseys on there. They had a bunch of other really cool jerseys on there, and it was just wild. It was like super, super dope. And then they also had a foamposite with like that zip up, like
the cowboy boot foamposite.
Yeah, which would like was really making rounds, and everybody was like, yo, like, oh shit, 424 is collaborating with Nike, blah 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 blah, like so dope. And then I think it later came out that it wasn't actually a collaboration, but actually just like customized pairs for the runway, which a lot of brands and designers actually do, right? They'll pick up like, you know, regular pairs of the shoes, or they'll like order like a bunch, or even get sent them by the brand and then like customize them themselves to fit their aesthetic, to fit their kind of theme of the show. And so this was the case for 424. The theme was kind of like sportswear, vintage jerseys and stuff like that. So unfortunately, as of yet, like right now, these shoes and these leather jackets and stuff are not going to release. There was no official collaboration, but I think everybody really wants there to be.
Yeah. If those cowboy boots get made, you can sign me up for a pair, because those are super interesting. They look great. Also, UGG made a lot of noise. A couple of collabs they had, one with Sakai, another one with Fengcheng Wang, and both of them super loud. I mean, the one with Sakai is basically like these boots that went way above your knee, completely covered in fur. Like some of the loudest Uggs you can probably ever see. And then just when you thought you couldn't see any louder Uggs, this pair with Fengcheng Wang, which looks like something out of an anime novel. Like I mean, these are just wild. I mean, they look like alien boots, or I don't even know how to describe it. Like it doesn't even look like a shoe. It looks like some kind of art piece, like an artwork. Like a sculpture almost. You just kind of have to see these to believe them. But if any one of you guys actually buy these, I need to see the fit pics. I really do need to see the fit pics, because I have no idea how I would ever wear a pair of these Uggs. These are just insane. And then of course, you know, it wouldn't be Paris Fashion Week without the man himself, Rick Owens. He did his thing as well, coming out with these, I guess, you know, how do you even describe them, man? Like these typical like chain mail boots. Yeah,
honestly, like imagine Rick Owens in the Middle Ages as a knight, right? Like a knight of the Round Table wearing Rick Owens from like 1355. Facts. That's what you're seeing. And Google Rick Owens Paris Fashion Week Fall Winter 25 and just bask in the glory that is Rick Owens. Like, obviously neither of us are ever going to wear that. I mean, I don't want to speak for you. Maybe you will wear that, but it's just cool to see that, you know, Paris Fashion Week isn't just about the sneakers, but also about like luxury, about, you know, high-end craftsmanship, about out of the box, avant-garde design, because let's be honest, a lot of these sneakers that we've talked about are retros that just have different materials or colorways on them, or, you know, maybe like a slight different change of shape and, you know, have been adapted slightly, which is cool, right, as a sneakerhead. But like true fashion is like creating something new, and that's what Fashion Week is about. So sneakers are kind of a juxtaposition, kind of like an oxymoron at Fashion Week, in my opinion. And you've got, you know, the Uggs, which, you know, is not really like a traditional fashion brand, but like teaming up with Sakai and Feng Cheng Wang. And then you've got the Rick Owens really doing like fucking futuristic cool shit, you know?
Crazy.
Yeah. So definitely go check those out. Yeah, nice little luxury roundup for you there after talking about low profile sneakers. Now we want to get into our personal top three sneakers of Fashion Week. I'm going to let you start, man. What was your... It doesn't even have to be in any particular order. If you want to order them, you can. But like, what was one of your three favorite sneakers of Paris Fashion Week?
So my favorite collab that I saw in Paris Fashion Week was from On. And that was the On and Post Archive Faction collab. I was a huge fan of this partnership last year. And I'm an even bigger fan of whatever is upcoming this year, because it seems like they're coming out with even bigger and better colorways this year. I'm especially interested in both the colorways I saw of the is this the Cloud Monster? Yeah, the Cloud Monster 2 seems to be like a dark gray color, and there's also going to be the Cloud Adventure dropping, and this time it's like not the usual monotone look. They're combining, you know, white and black on the shoe, and it's giving you a very interesting look. I kind of want to just get all of these, really. Like last year, I did manage to get the black ones, but I wasn't able to get them in my size, so I ended up just returning them. But if this gray colorway comes out this year, I'm definitely going to be copying it in my size. So yeah, very excited to see that On and PAF will be continuing their partnership this year. The second one that I was the most excited about was the Song for the Mute collab with Adidas on the Taekwondo May specifically. I talked about those two brown colorways, the light brown and the dark brown. And it looks like it's made out of this suede. And at least in pictures, it looked like the shoes were already it looked like it had this pre-worn in look to them. Like they were already kind of like dirtied a little bit, which yeah. At first I wasn't a big fan of. I've seen some other shoes do that. But I actually kind of get it now. Like I've seen some of these shoes in person, like the Rocky collab recently on the Puma Inhale as well. I actually think it's a pretty nice look, to be honest. And it looks really good on this Taekwondo May. So whenever those come out, I definitely will be getting myself a pair. And then finally, the Adidas Jellyfish with Pharrell, just because it's a brand new model. Never seen a shoe like this coming from Adidas. It kind of looks like a Response CL, but on steroids a little bit.
Yeah. It's got like very like 2000s runner vibes, just like blown up.
Yeah, yeah. It almost looks like a cartoon shoe, you know? It doesn't even look like a real shoe to me. Like I feel like I really need to see these in hand. And it looks like... I mean, there's been at least two colorways so far that have been previewed, like this orange one, and then there's like a white and gray colorway. So I think we might end up seeing lots of different colorways of this shoe. And I'm excited for whenever these drop. I hope the retail is not too crazy. But yeah, I'm excited to get them just because I know they will be challenged to pull off. And I typically like getting shoes like that. So yeah, those are my top three. What about you?
Nice, man. So I have the Pharrell Adidas Jellyfish on there as well. And what I'm wondering is, because like you've already done a really good job describing them, so I don't have to go into too much detail there. And I like them for the same reason you like them. They're so different, but also not, because they're like a 2000s runner, like sportswear kind of vibe. Do you think that these shoes can be pulled off whilst wearing shorts? Or are they too big?
Dude, I honestly would really have to say it depends on the shoe to ankle ratio. Like, I think if you have like really skinny ankles, it's gonna look terrible.
Yeah,
like,
right?
I feel like you need like the big ankles.
You need cankles
to be able to pull that. You need yo, if you have cankles, these are the best shoes, bro. Like, otherwise I'm not wearing them with shorts. I know me with my super skinny ankles, like there's no way I can wear these with shorts.
Yeah, you got that like Kevin Durant build, man.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's I'm not pulling these off.
Damn. Okay, so these are more like a Zion Williamson kind of sneaker.
Oh yeah. Zion, shout out to Zion, man. I watched him live in Toronto. I went to the Raptors Pelicans game. He looks good, man. I don't know what diet he's been on, but like, he looks very healthy.
Yeah,
must be playing for that contract.
Damn, bro, probably is playing for that, those fat stacks, the super max. Okay, so like the Pharrell Adidas Jellyfish super nice shoe and super interesting. I'd love to see it in person. I don't know if I'll actually necessarily pick it up, because I don't know if I'll wear it because of the whole shorts thing. You know, I feel like it's a very summery shoe, but who knows? Never say never. Then I really, really enjoyed the Nike CDG Rejuvenate, which is also one of those low profile models. It's kind of like a 2000 shoe that is all about like being lightweight, breathable, you know, like super, super cool. And it's got that like flywire outer, upper, in two colorways, in like a white and a black. Definitely on my hit list, on my cop list this year. I really like the white pair and looks like a really good summer shoe too. So gonna try and pick those up. And then my absolute favorite shoe of Paris Fashion Week was the Kid Super Bapestas. And for me, those are like top tier, like absolute must haves, because I think a lot of Bape collaborations recently have been very much like, you know, yeah, like, well, you know, like the Jown ones, and like, you know, we'll make that like nice materials and pretty colors, or like very muted colors. And then Kid Super comes in and just like, he gets what Bape is, right? Like, Bape is like loud colors, like that, like shiny leather upper overlays, contrasting kind of like all over prints. And what I love is that Kid Super has his own like camouflage print, which he's obviously like kind of been heavily inspired by Bape and their like ABC camo, except he does it in his own way, and he's got like different colorways and stuff like that. And he takes that and he's put it on a Bapesta. Just for me, top tier, like so, so nice. And like, I don't know when they're dropping, how they're dropping, how I'm gonna get my hands on them, but I absolutely need a pair, man. So that is probably, if I get a pair, this will be my, I'm already saying it, like this will most likely be my best sneaker of the year already.
Yo, whoa, man. We're only in January, bro. Come on, man. You can't say that already. What?
Dude, I do that often, man. Like, I did that with the Awake Gel NYCs, right? And then last year I was like pretty early on the on some of the other shoes that I was talking about. Like, I'm not saying that it's for sure nailed on, but like right now it's like a very strong early contender for shoe of the year for me.
So the one you're talking about is that beige looking colorway. Is that the one you're going to go for?
I didn't see that there were multiple colorways. Actually, I think it's the white colorway with like the all over print.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I see that as well. Okay, so you want the one that kind of looks like a slip-on, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, the
loafer.
The loafer. Yeah. Okay, got you. Okay, yeah, that one's okay. That's interesting. Okay, I'm trying to picture you wearing these.
Okay, I wish it wasn't. I wish it wasn't a loafer, right? And if there's a way to like make it a non-loafer, like a normal sneaker, then I would love that. But actually, there's a pair that I'm seeing that they don't look like loafers, man. Like, I'm pretty sure either he's wearing a, because you're talking about the pair that he's wearing, right?
Yeah. It looks, I mean, the product images makes it look like a loafer.
No, but there is a pair that he's holding that is not a loafer. And those are the ones I'm talking about. And they're white with like okay, an all gotcha. Over upper. Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, yeah, I see it now. I see it. The ones that the model's actually holding in his hand. Yeah, that doesn't look like a loafer. Got you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, let's like see, man. Let's see in December when we do our sneakers of the year. Let's see if you keep that same energy, man.
Dude, I mean, I need to get them, right? But like, oh, this collection is so nice as well. Like, the leather jacket's fucking beautiful. Some of the like louder pieces are too loud for me, but oh, I love those shoes, dude.
Yeah, no, those are fire. Yeah, so that was that's it. That's a pretty good roundup of Paris Fashion Week. So I did mention that January was a pretty slow month for sneaker releases, but that is absolutely not the case for February. So I'm gonna run through some releases, Fobs. I'll be asking you your opinion on some of them. Because we just got so much heat in February, and before our next episode, which drops next month, I wanted to get your take on some of these. So let's see. In the month of February, we got on February the 6th, we have this brand new model, the Nike Air Max DN8 dropping, which is just a continuation of last year's Air Max DN, except this one seems to have more of the cylinder Trash. Type... Yeah, I agree. It's trash. It's ass. It's ass.
It's so bad.
I'm not even gonna continue. And this first colorway too is all over pink one. Like, what's up with that, man?
Just on to the next.
Yeah, let's move on. On to the next one. We have a Salehe New Balance dropping on Feb the 6th. The New Balance 1500 dropping for a retail price of €275. Man, that is a hefty price, a hefty retail price. And not my favorite model, I'll be clear. And also a pretty strange Salehe release, because typically he releases these very colorful models, and this one looks like kind of like a GR New Balance almost. So it's a bit surprising coming from him.
I don't mind it as a shoe, but like, yeah, it's not like a Salehe type of shoe, and at $275, sorry, no thank you.
Yeah, then February the 7th, there's a ASICS pair that I'm actually quite excited about, but I don't know if it's actually dropping in Europe. That's the Haven collab on the ASICS Gel Nimbus 10.1, and the shoe is so unique because it's kind of like a two-tone sneaker. Like, it almost looked a bit weird in pictures that half the shoe was black and the other half was gray. But when I seen the pictures of people wearing these on feet, they look sick. They look like a Berlin shoe, actually. So I'm really excited if these actually drop in Europe. I'll be looking to get a pair of the Haven 10.1s. What else we got? We got the Jordan 5 metallic, the black metallic reimagined. I know fans of the 5s, especially if you missed out on those Ama Manier black metallic pairs. This OG colorway is dropping on February the 8th, so good luck to everyone trying to scoop these. Then moving on to February the 11th, oh man, Fobs, I don't know, man. I don't know if you felt the same way when you heard this, but to honor the 10-year anniversary of this shoe, Adidas is bringing back the OG colorway of the Ultra Boost on February the 11th. So, and when I heard this, I instantly felt so old, man.
Bro, like, first I'm of like, all, yeah, like, has
did
it
that
been
drop
10 years,
10
already?
Years ago?
It, like, crazy that it's been 10 years. And also, like, didn't they bring them back recently? Like, not recently, but like, was it 5 years ago that they brought them back?
Yeah, or, I could have sworn they brought them back recently too.
Right?
I think
like
they
in
did,
the last
bro.
Like 2 to 3 years, there was like a couple of releases where you could get like the OGs, right? Which then makes me think, like, because there was a period where they were trying to make the Ultra Boost happen again, and then they were like, ah, you know what, like the Samba's working, so let's maybe not do this anymore. So I think had they not done that a couple of years back, I would be more hyped for this 10-year anniversary. But right now it feels kind of like, ooh, again, you know? So
yeah, that's the same feeling I had.
Maybe wait another 5 years and do it for the 15-year anniversary. I get why they're doing it for the 10-year anniversary, and it is wild that it's been 10 years, but that's what happens, man. People get older, we get older, and time flies.
Yeah, exactly. Then February the 14th, Valentine's Day, we got the Jordan 1 High 85 Bread, which is going to be ultra limited from what I heard. From what I read, there's only 10,000 pairs available, very few retailers getting them, and they're also receiving a very small size run. I personally absolutely hate the release details of this shoe. I hate that there's so few pairs being made, because I feel like this is taking us back to what kind of turned away fans of Jordan Brand away from the brand in the first place, which was all of these, manufactured hype types of releases, where the shoes that you actually want to buy, you're not able to, because either, the bots are taking them, or they make them super limited, or it got backdoored. And you know that Jordan 1s for the last several years, they've been really easy to get. They've been sitting, they've been going on sale. Now we got this OG colorway dropping, which I know a lot of people really want to add to the collection. The last time we saw these was 2016. And including myself, I really wanted this pair in the collection, especially this 85 version. And then you find out that they're going to be super, super limited for God knows why. I mean, I guess they're trying to manufacture hype again. And it just kind of, and also just the whole marketing around the shoe, in my opinion, has been super corny. They shut off their Instagram account, they were banned off Instagram. They had people walking around the Nike campus giving employees tickets or violations for wearing Jordan sneakers, like they were banned or something. I mean, I found the marketing of the shoe to be a bit corny as well.
Yeah.
And it's not really working with fans of the shoe who just want to buy it. Like, we don't need all this marketing. Like, just give me an opportunity to buy the shoe that I want. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it's happening. I went on a bit of a rant there. did you have any thoughts of this shoe?
I mean, it's my favorite colorway on the Jordan 1. And I hope it's not as limited as you say. I think the marketing was a bit lame. Like, let the shoe speak for itself. People want this shoe. It is a legendary colorway. It's a legendary shoe. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited that it's coming back. I don't really, at least for this release, I'm not really paying attention to the whole hoopla around it. But, yeah, man, it's definitely a straight cop, dude.
Yeah, easily, especially in that 85 shape.
Yeah.
And then another classic colorway is dropping the very next day on the 15th. And by the way, the reason all of these are dropping on this weekend is because it's the NBA All-Star Game. So on the 15th, we have the Jordan 1 Black Toe Reimagined, which clearly fans of this shoe are not happy at all with this sneaker, because it's already going for under retail right now on StockX. You can go on StockX right now, get this shoe for $20 to $30 below retail. And that's basically 2 weeks before the release. So that just tells you how, quote unquote, excited or unexcited people are about this release. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that it doesn't have the Wings logo. They removed it and replaced it with this weird Air Jordan text, which a lot of people were kind of turned off with, including myself, even though I actually really love that colorway. Then on February the 20th, Jound is coming out with another Adidas collab, this time on the Superstar. And this is another made in Germany pair. As usual, typical Jound fashion, two very clean colorways, a simple black and white pair, and then also another predominantly black, and then I guess they're both black and white pairs, but they're just basically inverse colorways of each other. It comes with the nice leather that is made in Germany, of course. They will be retailing for $250, pretty high retail.
That's steep.
Yeah, but I mean, they're clean, but I don't know if I want to pay $250 for it. And I do like the Superstars, but yeah, $250, I don't know.
Yeah.
You planning on getting these?
Nah, not for $250, man. Like, I'm going to be frugal and fiscally conservative this year when it comes to collecting sneakers.
Yeah. On the 21st of Feb, fans of this model are going to be very excited because the Foamposite Galaxy colorway will be dropping. A lot of fans of the Foamposite will say this is maybe the most iconic Foamposite ever. So that's dropping on the 21st. Any other releases that I missed? No, nothing else that's too major that I missed. So yeah, that's a pretty jam-packed month. A lot of Nike, a lot of Jordans dropping, it seems, this year, as is typical around All-Star weekend. Definitely the pair I'm most excited about is the Bred 85s, but I'm only going to cop them if I get them for retail. I'm definitely not paying resale for them. But yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the end of this episode. Any release in particular that you're going to try to go for, or are you being frugal this month?
I mean, I think maybe the Bred and the Black. I actually don't mind the Black Toe. And if I can get that for under retail, man, why not, dude? So maybe one or two of those, depending on what I can get my hands on. And then the rest I like, but maybe not enough to cop.
Yeah, same with me. And yeah, thanks a lot, guys, for listening in to this episode of the Kickback Pod. As always, leave a 5-star review if you enjoy the pod, and share it with a friend, anyone else who might be interested in this type of content. And now you can leave comments over on Spotify, so please go ahead and do that, or feel free to DM either of us over on Instagram. That we'd appreciate that as well. Thank you guys for listening in. We'll catch you in the next episode. Peace.
Thanks for listening.